the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Don't you just hate sin? Now, if there's a little voice in you going, no, I actually love some sin, then that's the real deception, because that's not true. As a new Christian, as a new believer, as a believer, as a new creation, in union with Christ, the real you, the one who says, I ought to not do that, is really the one that says, that's the real you. Not the one who did it. Not the one who said it. Not the one who thought it. It's the one who's thinking, well, I'll not do that. No, that's the real you. That's the real want to in you. That's who you are. If you have a person who, like, let's say he's an alcoholic, and there's the bar down on Main Street, and he has to go by Main Street every day back and forth to get to his job, and every day he gets pulled and turns into the bar on Main Street. And then he dies. And they're rolling his casket by the bar in Main Street. He's no longer controlled. He's dead. Well, even a better biblical analogy would be, let's just say he died and somehow he was resurrected, but as someone totally different. And then he goes by the bar and walks by the bar. There may be some familiar things, but it's not the same. He's not the same person. That person died. Now, I was thinking about Romans 6 and how Romans 6 talks about our being dead to sin, but being dead to sin is just one of the consequences of the fact that you died. Period. So let me just read a few things to you. This is such an amazing chapter. The question earlier in chapter 5 was, grace is so awesome, so where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. For sure, that when you do sin, there's grace there so we can get up and keep walking. And then Paul asked the question, so what shall we do? Then, should we just continue in sin that grace may abound? And he's like going, that's a ridiculous question. Grace is there when you sin, so because God's always about get up and be the new creation. So you don't ever have a last chance. He wants us to be transformed. So it's about he never gives up. He's done something in us. He wants us to get it. And he wants us to walk it out. So it says in verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Then he goes, says this, do you not know that all of us who have died, who have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with. We should no longer be slaves to sin. When he says the body of sin, your old self died, the body of sin might be put away. The body of sin is just a great characterization of what the old self was. Just a body of sin. Just controlled by flesh. Then he goes on, he says, for we, he who has died, is freed from sin. That's the point. He's saying, your old self died. Who you were died. That old self died. In Christ. And oh, by the way, if you're dead, you're free from sin. If you died, then you're free from criticalness, you're free from gossip, you're free from lust, you're free from its power to slave you, it's free from anger, you're free from unforgiveness, you're free from attitudes. And you say, well, why do I still have those things? Because the enemy's a deceiver. And he wants you not to walk in the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. The Christian life is lived by how? Faith. Now, he's done everything for us, but what he's done for us and what's true about us is different, because what he's done for us and what may be true about us, there's the bridge of faith. So he goes on, he says, for For if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that as Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Therefore, death is no longer master over him. So if Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. And because you are in him and his death, death has no master over you either. And in some sense, you'll never die again. You already did in Christ. The spiritual death that we all deserved already happened in Christ. Now, you'll give up this body, but death is no longer a master over you. And that's true because you already died, and it's true. Death can't kill a dead man. He's already dead. And then he goes on and he says, for the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Point being is that because he died to death. And he also died to sin. Sin, which took him to the cross, he took our sin. He died to that once for all. He died to death once for all. You're in Christ when he died on the cross, and so you died to death and you died to sin because dead people aren't controlled by sin. Now here's some of the neat things that's fun. Verse 3 says, don't you know? Verse 6, knowing this? Verse 9, knowing that? Like three different times Paul's like going, don't you know this? Don't you know this? Don't you know this? Don't you know this is something that's already happened? The sad thing is most Christians don't know it. And then he says a couple of things in light of that. He says in verse 5, he says, for we who have become united with him in the likeness of his death certainly shall also be the likeness of the resurrection. He said, don't you know this? Don't you know it's already a certainty? So what's my part? Verse 8. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe. Verse 11, then 11, for the death that he died to sin once. The life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves. The word consider there is the word that we get the word logic from. Therefore, if you're in Christ, and if Christ died to sin, died to death, he died, and you died in him, and he was raised up, and you were raised up in him as a totally new person. Therefore, the death that he died to sin, the life that he lives to God. Therefore, it's logical that that's the same thing is true about you. You've already experienced death and resurrection. And you're dead to sin because you're in Christ, he's dead to sin, and you're alive to God because Jesus is alive to God, and his life to God is your life to God. And so when temptation comes, you can stare it right in the eye and go, well, I died. And the only thing true about me now is who I am in Christ. Go get it, Jesus. Go get him. Your own Jesus. It's really not any more complicated than that. Sin, I died. So, and I'm now alive, but it's not the person you used to deal with. Your own Jesus. And he'll manifest in your moment the victory he's already accomplished for you 2,000 years ago. See, now when you look at me like this, I think, okay, we're going to have to keep saying this over and over again because I still got that calf looking at a new gate look. It's true. It's certain. So therefore, what do? We don't try to figure it all out. Faith happens in the heart, not in the head. We believe. And that word, consider yourself, or the southern one in King James, reckon yourself, dead to sin. It's in the present tense. It means that's just what you walk in every time you get tempted. I'm dead. The person you're dealing with now is not the person you used to be a master over. Jesus, your own. Thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.